Everyone, in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis, we talk about this idea of saras covering the entire body. Mirosho bad raglov, says the pasuk. If it goes mirosho bad raglov, the or hanega, the entire skin of the person turns white. Lechol marayin yakoin, and the kohen sees it as all that. And pasuk Yud Gimel, v'ra'a kohen, the kohen sees it. V'nei chisso hatzaras is kol b'saro v'tiar as hanega. He sees that saras is all over his flesh. V'tiar as hanega, and he's metaher the nega. Kulu afach levan tohar hu. He's entirely white. Such a person can only be tahor. Ubiyom heroz bo baser chai. And on the day where a little bit of flesh comes onto the white, not only do you have white on your skin, but you also have a little bit of normal flesh on the skin itself. Yitmo. That's when he becomes tameh. This is unbelievable. A person who's entirely white ends up being tahor? Meaning, you have a tiny little spot the size of a grist, size of a dime, on your skin. You have that one little spot. That makes you tummy. If it grows, then you're still tummy. Grows, still tummy. You could have both arms, both legs, completely covered by white, you're still tummy. But if every single part of your body, from the top of your hair, all the way down to the bottom of your feet, is covered with white, then you're tahor? How does that make any sense at all? And as soon as part of the white goes away, then you become tummy again? This just doesn't make any sense. The whole concept doesn't make any sense. The Mishnayis in Negayim and Parakhes talk about this. It's a little bit different. Let's go according to the parish of the Bar Tanura. If a guy comes in and he's entirely white, he still needs hezger. Meaning, you got to put him away for a week, and you got to see what's up with him. That's what you do if a guy comes in entirely white. If he walks in, I'm not just talking albino, or like, you know, a guy who hasn't been out in the sun for a while. Guy who comes in entirely white from top, he needs hezker. If one white hair comes out on his skin, then he's mukhlat. Then he becomes a mitzora mukhlat. He's got to stay until everything goes away, etc. But if there's no white hair, you look at all the skin is white, but the hair is the normal color throughout the entire body. White all over, normal hair everywhere, then he's fine. You send him home. That's after 1 week of keeping him out, that's what you end up doing. If he gets sick afterward, then you put him into mukhlat immediately. If he gets sick again afterward. Mishnah Chesed says, but if he became all white after being tameh, meaning he was regularly tameh, and then all of a sudden he became all white all the way through, then he becomes tahor. It's the most amazing thing in the world. If he's tameh, and then he becomes all white, then he's tahor. But seemingly, there's like a lot of different nuances throughout all this. The Rambam talks about this in Perek Zayin in Hilchos Tumas Saras. This is a strange, strange affliction, right? That we're saying that when you become all white, you're going to be taller. Now, there are 20 answers to this question. Many, many Rishonim and Achronim go into this question. They all have their different answers. I'm going to concentrate on one answer that's given by the Shach. And Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein and Alina Lashabach brings down. But to introduce, I'm just going to tell you, according to Yalkut Ruveni, this was the question that Korach asked Moshe Rabbeinu. And we all know, what did Korach go to Moshe Rabbeinu with? Everybody knows what he went. Korach said, if you have a talis that's entirely blue, entirely tcheles, do you need tcheles strings? That we all know. If you have a room full of svarim, does it need a mezuzah? According to the Yalkut Ruveni, there was a third question. Third question is, what if a person becomes entirely white? What if he has saras over his entire body from head to toe? What ends up being with the person? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, tahor. To that, Korach said back, it cannot be that a human being, it cannot be that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave this Torah. This Torah must have been given by a human being. It doesn't make any sense. And he threw it out. So the Shach al Torah, this is not the Shach, the Sifzei, the Reb Shapsi HaKohen, who writes on Shulchan Aruch and the Chosh Mishpat, but this is a Talmud of the Arizal. Says the Shach al Torah, this is a simon that he's already nichna. What's the issue with a guy who gets saras? He's either speaking Lashon Hara, or he's stingy, or he's got giving ayin haras to people. Something that has to do with him and somebody else, dealing with somebody else badly, and then he gets saras. All of these dealings are because he has gaiva. He has azus, brazenness. And that gaiva, that ego that he has, is destroying him from within. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, touches him on the arm and says, you got to stop this. That's the white mark, so to speak. The mark that shows he's got to stop it. He's got to do something different. He can't keep going like this. He can't keep going this way. It can't be. So he stops. But if a person becomes entirely white, says the Shach, that is a guy who no longer needs to be machnia himself. He's done. He doesn't have to knock himself down. He's got to be the most embarrassed person in the world. You can't hide it when it's all over your body. If you have one spot on your hand, so you wear a sleeve that's a little bit too long, and you don't show anyone your hand. You have it on both hands, you go like that. You have it on your face, you put a little bandage on, right? But when it's all over your body and everywhere, what are you going to do? You're going to be a mummy? You can't do that. So in the end, everybody knows. Everybody knows that you have tzaras. There's nothing you can do about it. Says the Shach, that's going to knock you down so badly, everybody's going to look at you and be like, oy, Nebuch. You're going to be the Nebuch guy. Everybody's looking at you. You're going to knock yourself down. You won't need to do anything else. This is automatically part of the tshuva. But if it doesn't turn better all at once, if he has a little bit of skin left, well, then what happens to the guy? The guy's like, oh, I'm getting better. I don't need this anymore. And he throws out all of his hachna, every part of his body that has already said, I don't know what to do, and giving up and whatever, and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. He's like, oh, I can do this. I'm doing this on my own. Thanks, God. I appreciate it. I can do it right now. Because he sees a little bit of flesh. That's when he becomes tummy again. He says, the Shach, you're all white. You're all tahor. The pshat is, you're already ready to do tshuva on your own. You don't need anyone's help at that point. That's the concept. The parents of a young man who got cancer turned to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein and asked him, one of the most difficult things that you could ask. But they said, what do we do about our child who's now at shidduch age? 17, 18, 19 years old. He's got this terrible sickness. What are we going to do about prospective matches? We want him to start dating soon, but nobody's going to date him with these types of issues. Nobody wants to marry a person who's sick. Meanwhile, all of his friends are getting married. All of the people that he knows, they're getting married. What are we going to do? What do we talk to him about? How do we explain to him what these Yisurin are like for somebody who just doesn't know? He feels lost. He feels hopeless. What can we tell him? So Rabbi Yitzchak brought this pasuk. Kulo afach levon torhu. If normally white skin and hairs are a sign of tumah, he asked, how can it be that when it spreads throughout the body is tahor? And he brings down the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim brought up Navi. And I know, never went to seminary, and there's no reason for you to know what happened in Malachim Beis. There's no reason for you to know that. Unless there's a Gemara on it, then maybe you've heard a little bit of this, but I know there's no way that you heard about this. Malachim Beis, Perek, Chaf Aleph, Pasuk, Yud Tes. It's getting right in there. That's like mamash toward the end. You're going to be like, I don't know what's going on here. Eliyahu told Achav a nevuah. What was the nevuah? The nevuah was that in the same place that the dogs licked up the blood of Nevos, they're now going to lick up your blood instead. And what was this nevuah? What was the nevuah? Well, Nevos was a person who owned a field next to Achav. I remember back then, you owned a field, it came from Yerusha, from your parents, all the way back. So Nevos and Achav were likely even relatives. They were relatives of one another, and they had fields right next to each other. And every time Achav looked outside his palace, he saw Nevos with his field, and he said, I want that garden, I want that field. He had a tremendous desire to take the field. But Nevos didn't want to sell. He said, it's my field, my ancestral land. I'm not giving up this field, it's not going to happen. To which Achav said, what am I going to do? He kept begging and begging, and he said, no, and no, and no. Finally, Achav got sick. Achav was sick to the stomach. He couldn't handle it anymore. And he went to almost his deathbed, his sick bed for sure, saying, well, what am I going to do? I want this field so badly. What am I going to do? So what happened? Izebel, his non-Jewish wife, who never converted, Izebel saw what was happening to her husband, realized it was because of Nevos. So she had a man kill Nevos, took the field, turned it into the garden that she knew her husband would want, and brought Achav into the field and said, look, it's yours now. Baruch Hashem, Achav got a lot better. Achav got a lot better. So in that field, that area where Nevos' blood was licked up by the dogs, That's where you, Ahav, are going to die. You're going to die. That's Eliyahu HaNavi said, clearly showing him that the issue that Ahav had gone through was because he had allowed Nabos to be killed. Now, he didn't kill Nabos. Ahav didn't kill him. Izebel did. And it could be that Izebel even lied to him. It could be that Izebel said, oh, Nabos died and his closest relative is you. Or Nabos died and left you that field as a matnas shchiv merah before he died. Who knows what Izebel did? We don't know. She has no shaita. She was a horrible human being. An absolute horrible human being. But she went ahead, he went ahead and told Ahav this. Now what was Ahav's reaction? You're a king of Klal Yisrael. You've been king for 20 years already. 20 years you've been king of Klal Yisrael. You've done tremendously evil things. You've been a servant of the Baal. The Baal was that Avodah Zarah that they had at the time. Right? And everything like that. What would you do? What would you do? So what did Ahav do? Ahav immediately tore his clothing, took off his shoes, put on sackcloth, and fasted all day long. Ahav, the evil king, the king who has no chelek in Olam Haba. This is what he did when he heard Eliyahu Navi's words. That's what Ahav did. So when that happened, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reappeared to Eliyahu Navi and told him that the evil decree was rescinded, it wouldn't happen to Ahav. That wasn't going to happen again. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what do you see from such a thing? What's the idea that you learn from such a thing? He said, the midah of hachna, of being machnir yourself. And there is no good word for it. To knock yourself down, to throw your gaiva to the floor and say, forget about that, is so important. It can remove the most terrible of gezeiros for something that you deserve, for something that you should have had. A makkah of death can be taken away from you by you being machnir yourself and saying, maybe you should make the decision. Maybe you should do something instead. Maybe that person's right and not me. For that reason, the Torah prescribes his bodidus as a refuah for the man with tzaraas. Says the Chafetz Chaim, this guy, if he's going to hang around the people that he used to hang around with, the guys that he was talking Lashon Hara to, making fun of other people with, doing all of his things, if he keeps hanging out with those people, there's no way he's going to be machni himself. He's going to show up. He's going to go up to them and he's going to try to be the guy, you know, that manly man who's going to be like, yo, I don't even care about my tzaraas. That's what he's going to be like if he's goaded on by all of his friends. So what do? We take him and we say, get away from everybody. Stay somewhere else. Be misboded. Be on your own. And do things by yourself so that you can eventually realize what you need to work on. So you can be machnia yourself, knock yourself down, and look at you. You're sitting in a little hut in the middle of nowhere, with no one around you. No friends, no wife, no family. Nobody ever near you. What are you going to do about it? That's how a person knocks himself down. And says the Chafetz Chaim, that happens when he has a little white spot on it. When he's entirely white, and he's got the spots from the top to the bottom, everyone stays away from him anyway. Nobody wants to be near such a guy. They see him as something's wrong here. His heart is going to be broken. He immediately has thoughts of tshuva. Says the Chafetz Chaim, such a person doesn't even need to be machnia anymore. He is machnia. That's the idea that the Shach brought down. And the Chafetz Chaim is just repeating it. Says Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein, I know that this whole ordeal has been really hard for you. He said to the young boy and his parents. But you have to understand something. There was a gzar din of misa on you. You should have died. This sickness is a sickness that usually kills people. You're lucky enough to still be alive. You're lucky enough to have a refuah. And the refuah that comes with this makkah, because always HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nagof v'rafo, he plagues and he gives a refuah at the same time. The refuah that comes with is that now you know what it's like to be machnia yourself. You now know that your life and everything hangs in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. You have an issue with Shidduchim. You don't know what to do. You want to get married. You know who's going to marry you. So you know what you have to do now? Nothing. You dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and let him find the right person for you. Until now, you thought it was you. It's my good looks. It's my attitude. It's the way that I speak. It's how I go about my business that allows me to get a good Shidduch. If I do it the right way, right? If I do it the right way, then I'll get the right Shidduch. The right girl will fall for me. Because I am just irresistible. Who's going to be able to resist my charm when I put it out there? That's what you're thinking. So you go out on these shidduch dates and you think it's all about you. But now, said Rabbi Yitzchak, you have the chance. You have the idea. You can go into a shidduch date saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's entirely in your hands. I can't do anything here. Even if I try to do something right, I'm not going to do something right. Because it's going to come out, this person knows that I'm sick. Why are they going to say yes to me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me the right person and put me in the right situation for things to happen in the right way. It's an amazing concept. It's an amazing concept. He then wished him a full refuah shleima. I don't have an ending to the story. I can't tell you. The man now has 17 children. And he's the Meshulach who came to me last night. I can't tell you that. You know, that's not the end of the story. I have absolutely no idea what the end of the story is. The end of the story is, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. Maybe this kid took it to heart. Maybe he was machni himself. Maybe he said, you're right, it's all in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. And maybe 3 weeks later he was engaged. I have absolutely no idea. Maybe he said to himself, I can't do it. I just can't do that. And he still considered it's in my hands and I'll make the decisions and I'll figure it out and it'll all be up to me. And it didn't work out. Maybe that's what's going to happen. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. I can't tell you because stories end at some point. You know what I'm saying? You can't know the ending of that story. But I'll tell you the concept. The concept is very, very, very obvious. The concept is, we keep thinking that we're in charge. We keep thinking that we're the ones who are making the decisions. And this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Torah called Soras, Meroshu V'Adraglav, this concept of Kulo Hafach Lavan Torahu, is there to tell us, stop it. You're not in charge. You're not the one making the real decisions. Yes, you have Bechira. And Baruch Hashem, we have Bechira. Yes, we have great things that we're able to do. We are all tremendous in our own way. Every single person here has tremendous koach and has tremendous abilities. We have to start attributing it to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Is this me or is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And I'm starting this off here because I think combined, I don't think any of your egos compare to mine. And I have a feeling, right, that if you would add all of your egos together and squash them in like one big ego, and then you put my ego next to yours, I would destroy all of yours. If you have any spekos about that, just ask Rabbi Sheinfeld. Just ask him. He won't tell you, but he'll smile, and that will tell you the answer. That's the answer to your question. Which one? I understand that. But it's a concept of where we have to start thinking, if somebody else was me, they would be 100 times better. That's where you can knock down your ego. Somebody had my abilities, and everything that I have going for me, and everybody should be saying this, do you know what they could have done? Maybe they would have been Mashiach. And look at you. You're a Mashgiach. You missed it by a gimel. I'm saying that's the concept. The idea is to look at you, look at yourself, and say, yeah, I've got amazing ability. I know what I can do. But I know I'm not doing it in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to, and I've got so much to do. To be machni yourself and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to actually daven. And to say in your davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me. Because I know I'm not going to say this correctly. I have a thing. And I don't know if I've told you all about this, but I've definitely said it to some of you before. When I go downtown to Lincoln Park Zoo or to the museums or anywhere around there, before we leave the house, I daven with my kids. I'm usually not by myself. I daven with my kids. Kids, we're davening for a parking spot. Daven for a parking spot. Now that is not something to be taken lightly. Parking downtown Chicago can cost you $35. You don't want to do that, right? So we're davening for a parking spot. So we do it. We have a davening session. We all sit there and, I don't know, one of my kids does a Shemoneh Esrei, but everybody else is doing it normal, right? We have regular, we all daven, we get up and we do it. And I'm telling you, it works every single time. This time, when I was going there, we were going to the Field Museum on a Sunday. And I was seriously worried. There was no way on a Sunday I'm going to find parking. You know the Field Museum, right? Where's the parking downtown by the Field Museum? It's only in that one little area, that little strip of land that leads to the planetarium, right? The aquarium's over here, planetarium's over here, the Field Museum's over here. It's only that one strip over there. And over there, there's like what? There's 60 spots, 70 spots. And I was leaving. I usually leave early. When you're early and the museums aren't open yet, oh, then it's easier. I'm telling you, right now, I lost my faith. I lost my faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm like, guys, I don't know if it's going to work this time. And one of my kids said to me, I don't want to say which one, but Nachshon Ben Aminadov came up. He said to me, Daddy, what are you worried about? We're diving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we'll get the parking spot. I'm like, listen, kid, I know more than you. I've lived a lot longer than you have, right? I'm telling you, there's no way it's going to happen. There's just no way. There's going to be too many cars. But they're like, Daddy, don't you realize if the sea can split before Klal Yisrael, then certainly we can get a parking spot. Okay, they didn't do that. But the concept was still there. And I said, like, you know, maybe, all right, fine. Guys, I'm with you. I'll daven. But I daven a half-hearted tefillah, you know? My kids are, like, sitting there, like, chuckling, you know? Like, and I'm sitting there, and I've got the, like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please give me a good parking spot. And that was that. But I had absolutely no, we got there. There's, like, seven cars in front of me when we're getting around to the thing. I'm like, guys, there's no chance. Like, even if there's a parking spot open, these seven cars are in front of me, and everything's packed. These people, it's a beautiful day. There's just no way. So I said to my kids, I'm like, all right, guys, we'll go around once, but then we'll go straight to this parking lot over there. There's still spots in that parking lot. It'll cost us a little bit more, but we'll deal with it, right? And my kids are like, Daddy, have you no faith? I said, no, I have none. That's it. We'll go. We get in there, right? And there's like, I don't know if you go in, like by the museums, there's like that one spot in front, and then one spot in the back, and there's like a little street in between where you can turn in and go around. And I was like, I was sitting there, we got past the first part. It was no parking spot. Everybody was all, and I sat there and I was like, all right, guys, we're just making a left here. And they're like, Daddy, no! So I'm like, all right, fine, I'll go ahead. And as soon as I go in, right, two spots ahead, there's like seven cars in front of me. Every single car missed it. There was a parking spot on the left-hand side that was wide open. Right there. So I'm like, there's got to be something wrong. Right? There's got to be something wrong. Something has to be wrong. So I look at the kids. I'm like, do you see anything wrong? Is there a fire hydrant here? No. Is there no parking sign here? No. So what's wrong? Like, Daddy, you know what's wrong? Your faith. That's what's wrong. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at it. Like, they're right. I got into the parking spot. There was even ample room. It wasn't like one of those where I had to like maneuver the car in and sort of like, you know, crush two cars in front of me and back me with my monster truck. You can't do that. I didn't even have to. I got right in, set, put it right inside, and I looked up and I'm just like, this is an unbelievable spot. And they look at me and they smile. They're like, we told you, Daddy. We told you. We diamonded. And that's what ended up happening. And I'm saying like, no, you don't understand. It must be, I'm trying to explain it naturally. It didn't make any sense. It does not make any sense. Like the seven cars were going on. Like, how did we miss that one? It didn't make any sense. It literally made absolutely no sense. We are so into ourselves, thinking we're in charge, we make the decisions, we do everything. We totally forget how a Kadosh Baruch Hu literally does everything for us. And anytime you daven, it is a koach, it is a power, and it does things for you. We can't forget this. This is the lesson of the parsha. That's the lesson of Hachno. The idea that we can learn is to take from this and to say to ourselves, we really aren't in charge. We're not. What can we do to make ourselves better, to make ourselves really feel this, to finally be machnir ourselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to realize that it's not in our hands, it's in someone else's. And that someone else is a big capital S and a capital E, and someone else is going to take care of us. And that's what's going to happen over here. When we finally realize that lesson, Yisurin don't even mean anything anymore. They're part of a grand plan. They're part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu helping us. We'll look at it and we'll see it and we'll say to ourselves, I got it. Now, nothing, not even my faith is wrong with me. Now I'll get a little bit better. Stop with that, everyone. Have a great week.